was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. Joining me in our studio today is my co-pilot, Lil Baron.
Hey, Mr. Case.
Lil Baron. We are coming up on the end of the year.
We sure are.
It's crazy.
It is.
I can't believe 2023 is almost behind us.
I know.
This is the time of year for many of us, maybe even most of us, where we kind of go on autopilot a little bit. We eat a little more. We party a little bit more. It's the holidays,
it
right?
It is the holidays.
And the New Year's resolutions right. are just right around the corner anyway.
Exactly.
So I can't be alone
and
in
you
this,
got to
right?
weigh a little more on the January 1st. So,
so you can drop a little weight, right? Okay, so we're on the same page here. I'm not alone in this. No, I think many of us kind of feel this way. And listen, let me just say this. Let's keep taking care of ourselves,
exactly.
right? Even if we're going to relax just a little bit, enjoy the holiday,
yeah.
enjoy our families. But, you know, let's keep taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
But today I wanted to share an article that I found on Well Plus Good. It's written by Rachel Krauss,
mm-hmm.
and it's called, "If You Only Do 5 Exercises, a Physical Therapist Says These Are the Most Effective for
Ooh.
Keeping You Pain-Free."
Oh.
Now, this comes a little bit close to home, right? Yeah. I'm not talking about dropping a few pounds
right.
or setting your best times
right.
in a race. Like those are goals for New Year's.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't finish strong, right?
Right
finish the
right.
year strong, but I'm not talking about that. This is to keep us out of pain. So
okay.
I want to just kind of blast through these, but there's some
okay.
good things in here that are worth thinking about. Dr. Mallory Behanna is the physical therapist from Brooks Rehabilitation in Florida. And she says the number one exercise is the plank.
I wondered if that was going
okay.
to be it.
So you guessed
I
it.
Did.
So this is one of the most loved and hated core exercises around.
Yeah.
But it is the
yeah.
one that gets the top billing on this list. She says planks work your core stability
mm-hmm.
and endurance, which helps with overall balance and stability as well as protecting your spine.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. It's a good exercise. Let me say that. It's a good exercise. She says the directions to do it, hold your body in the top of a push-up position. And then the goal is to aim to hold for 60 seconds at a time.
Oh,
and then add to that
yeah.
as you can. Right.
Yeah.
Number two, she says, is step ups.
Oh.
Now, she says exaggerating the act of going upstairs by working one leg at a time is a great way to build strength and balance.
Mm.
She says single leg strengthening is often neglected, but it's very important because we do single leg functional activities
mm-hmm.
every day, such as stepping up on a curb or descending stairs.
Yeah.
So we can develop a preference over time as to which limb leads in these activities, which can lead to an asymmetry of strength in the left versus the right leg or the right versus the left, depending on which one you use the first. And that results in an overall imbalance or instability.
Hmm.
So she says using strengthening
mm-hmm.
one leg at a time can be very helpful. Directions to do that, using the bottom of a staircase or a sturdy 4 to 8 inch tall step stool, step up with one leg at a time. She does recommend placing your hands on a railing or a counter or some other surface if you feel imbalanced,
yeah.
just to stay safe. Slowly lower yourself back down, then step back up, repeating 10 to 15 times for 3 sets on each leg. She says to make this movement more challenging, you can bring your bottom knee towards your chest as you step up.
Oh.
But strengthening those legs is important for balance and
mm-hmm.
endurance. Number three, she says, is the side lying hip abduction. And I didn't know what that was from the
good,
title,
I'm...
but you'll recognize it as soon as I explain it. But Dr. Behanna says that she has seen dramatic improvement in clients when they learn to activate and strengthen their glutes. And these leg lifts are a great way to target the gluteus medius in particular. But even though you're going to be lying down on your side, it can still lead to greater walking stability. So the directions to do this exercise, lie down on one side of your body, bend the bottom knee, and keep the top knee straight,
mm-hmm.
and then lift the top leg, straightening the leg in the air, keeping your heel slightly behind your hip, and then lowering it back down 10 to 15 times.
Okay.
So just kind of that
mm-hmm.
abductor mm-hmm. Leg lift, great way to strengthen your gluteus muscles and to keep your balance and endurance
mm-hmm.
there. The next one she says is the heel and toe raises. She yeah. says working your calves will help keep you mobile by building strength and lengthening those often tight knotted muscles. You'll also activate the small muscles in your feet to help create a stable base
oh.
for walking. So again, the directions for that, stand next to a counter or a railing,
yeah.
holding on with both hands, but for balance only. then rise up onto your toes. Mm-hmm. So just do your tippy toes, then lower back down. Repeat that 30 times for two sets. Then the next thing you want to do is keep your heels on the ground and lift your toes up.
Oh.
And repeat that for 30 times for two sets. And she says to make it even harder, if you want to, you can do it 1 foot at a time instead of on both legs. And then the last one is hamstring and calf stretches, which are my very favorite.
Yes, I know.
You know they're my favorite. But these stretches are the complement to those heel raises and step-ups that you just did. When the hamstrings are tight, they can pull on the pelvis, causing more stress in the lower back when you're standing, which can lead to back pain over time. Dr. Behenna says, when the calf muscles are tight, it can cause foot and knee pain or limited mobility, as well as affect overall balance and stability. So again, the directions for that, to stretch your hamstrings. This is a form that I've never really used, but it makes a lot of sense. She says, sit sideways on the edge of a couch with the outside foot on the floor and the inside leg straight out in front of you on the couch.
Oh.
And then keeping your knee and back straight, lean forward until you feel a stretch on the back of your thigh.
Oh.
Now, I don't have to lean forward at all. I can tell right now, just sitting there, I'm going to feel a stretch on my thigh.
Right.
But she says, hold that stretch anywhere for 15 to 30 seconds and repeat 3 to 5 times on each leg. And then to stretch your calf, stand facing a wall with both hands on the wall. Place 1 foot back into a small lunge, keeping the heel of the back foot on the ground. Then lean forward until you feel a stretch in the calf of the back leg. Hold that for 15 to 30 seconds and repeat 3 to 5 times. And then that gets you a little bit of a stretch going on your legs as well. So again, you know, these aren't like hard exercises. They're just things to kind of create some stability and hopefully strengthen some muscles.
Yeah.
Stretch some muscles so that we can avoid pain.
Yeah.
Which I thought is a good thing.
Exactly.
All of us want to avoid a little pain.
Exactly.
So Lil, today's guest.
Yes.
Has been a swimmer since she was 6 years
old.
Jean Smith was born in Southern California and spent an hour a day, 5 days a week, nearly every day at the pool until she graduated from high school. Swimming has always been a respite from stress for her, yet it was too inconvenient for many years, like many of us, as a working college student and a young mom. Jean dove back into the pool many years later when she moved near a pool and has also coached adult onset swimmers for the past 15 years. She started competing in triathlons in her 30s.
Wow.
She got more serious in her 40s. And as she neared 50, she was inspired by her training team to consider an Ironman race. And as of last month, Jean is now an Ironman.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Jean.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
Congratulations on that designation,
Ironman. Yeah, that is awesome.
It's a great thing. It's a title that no one can take away or undo.
Right.
And that's a big deal to have something like that in your life.
Yeah.
Now we know what a triathlon is. It is a combination of swimming, biking, and running.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of us are familiar with the phrase Ironman, and we all know that it's like hard and difficult, and not everybody can jump right into it and do one right away, for sure. But will you please for us review the distances of the swim, the bike, and the run?
Absolutely.
Of an Ironman?
Yes. First, let's just talk about Ironman. It is the name of the company. And the company sponsors two different distances of triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
There's the half iron distance and the full iron distance. And to be considered a full Ironman, then the distances are a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a marathon, which is 26.2 miles.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Just to round out the experience, we're going to throw a marathon. Yeah. Listen, these distances are amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the folklore of the Ironman company is they were, you know, three friends that were all endurance athletes. And one of them was a swimmer, one of them was a biker, one of them was a runner. And they were like, what's the hardest possible race? Well, let's just combine them all together. You know, we'll throw them all together. We'll do it all at once. These distances are no joke.
No.
I mean, you look at the swim, and if you're unfamiliar with swimming, you might think, two and a half miles, that's no big deal. Let me tell you right now. Let me tell you right now, Jean, you confirm this. Is it 2.6?
2.4.
A 2.4-mile swim is a big deal. Am I wrong?
It's a really big deal.
Yeah, it is. And then And then you get out of the ocean or the lake or the river, whatever it is that you're swimming. And then you're going to jump on a bicycle and you're going to ride 112 miles. Now, I think all of us recognize that 112 miles is a long ways away from where you're standing right now, right? Am I right?
It's a lot. It's so much.
And then just for fun, because, you know, we've got a little bit more time. Let's go run 26 plus miles. Right. To accomplish a marathon. It's an accomplishment.
It is.
Congratulations. Yes. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about this. So again, congratulations on achieving that milestone. But you've been doing triathlons for a while.
I have ish.
Kind of ish. Okay.
As I think about it, I thought it was really interesting that it said that I kind of dabbled in the 30s and maybe a little in the 40s, but it hasn't been until the 50s that I really got serious.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. Like, I'd never really sat back and thought about it. Like, I'm old. Like, I'm old. And I'm just and I'm a baby. I'm a baby in the sport of triathlon. So
you're just coming to your prime.
What's next? No. Yeah. So it's really interesting for me. I'm socially driven. I'm an extrovert and I really thrive on the energy of being with people. And it's amazing what kind of trouble and fun you can find yourself in when you surround yourself with triathletes.
Yeah.
So even if you don't want to, man, the pull to participate is pretty exciting. And the way things started for me in my 50s when things got serious is I had two swimmers who did Ironman Arizona, the full iron distance. And there was a half iron distance coming to Ohio for the first time, which is where I am now. Mm-hmm. And they thought it would be really fun to do a relay for that half distance. And they asked me if I would do the swim leg.
Okay, yeah.
And the energy in a triathlon is something that's hard to describe. But the vibe of an Ironman is I don't know how to explain, the hype is real. You just stand close to where that starting line is and it just is electric all day.
There is electricity for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And as I jumped in the water and I did the swim portion of the relay, I thought, I think I might need this in my life.
So you swam for a long time, obviously. You started as a young girl, and then you swam through high school, took a little break to raise a family and things. Like I said, many of us end up doing that for sure. Mm-hmm. But in the back of your mind, you've always got that, I'm a swimmer. Mm-hmm. When was it that you decided to say, was it at this moment when you decided to say, hey, I'm going to add these other two things and become a triathlete?
That is a really good question. Riding a bike has always been transportation for me. So growing up in Southern California, we had one car. So with a family of five. And so it was all about
bikes, right?
We rode bikes. When my, I didn't own a car. I didn't own a car until a year after I was married. So riding a bike was transportation. And my husband and I, that's what we did with our wedding gift money, was we bought two mountain bikes. And cool. That was our transportation.
Yeah.
So cycling has always been in the background. And I find it joyous. I always feel like a 7-year-old girl whenever I get on a bike. I smile uncontrollably. I'm known for having bugs in my teeth because I'm the one who's so I'm a bit ridiculous. The running part has always been hard, always been hard. And, it just does not come naturally to me. And so that was the real struggle.
So I have done a couple of triathlons. Mm-hmm. I just want to be crystal clear about this. I am not, nor do I consider myself a triathlete. I have done a couple of triathlons and I'm the opposite of you. Like, for me, the swim is just so intimidating, and it's the hardest one for me, and I'm not great at it. I need to figure it out. I don't love to run either, but the run doesn't bother me, and the bike is kind of in the middle for me too. I don't necessarily use a bike for transportation, but certainly I know how to ride a bike, and I've ridden one. But I will agree with this completely, that there is an energy and a vibe around the triathlon community. You know, I've never done an Ironman. My distances have been sprints. I did one Olympic distance. But there's something that's really cool about that community. And the way you described it is so true. There's an electricity at the beginning and the starting line, a lot of nervous energy. And it's so fun to just hang out with people. There's a lot of humility and there's a lot of selfie facing, even though some of the greatest athletes to ever walk the planet are standing right next to you. They're still like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this swim. Well, of course you're going to make it through this. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So again, congratulations on that. Now, in your introduction, I used a phrase that I was not familiar with, and maybe others won't be as well. We called it, you're coaching adult onset swimmers.
Yeah.
Define that for us. What does that mean?
I coach people who are adults and have taken swim lessons growing up. They did enough to be water safe. So they're water safe. They have fun at the pool. They have a great time at the beach. They've even been snorkeling or maybe even know how to scuba dive. But if you ask them to race back to shore, they'd say, I'll take a kayak.
Yeah.
So these are typically runners. Every so often, there are cyclists who want to do a triathlon, or they're adults who have had their joints or their body compromised in a way where their doctor recommends that they engage in low impact exercise.
Yeah.
And so those become people that come to me, and it is my joy. Like, I love it so much. Really rewarding job.
So you really have just perfectly described me. I can get around. If I fell off a boat, I feel like I could swim back to the boat. But yeah, again, having done these triathlons before, I mean, that's what I end up doing for some of the triathlon. Yeah. Like I'm backstroking, I'm dog paddling, I'm side stroking, I'm doing a lot of things. I have yet to figure out how to actually swim the distances in any way that is, you know, useful or efficient or effective. So maybe you and I need to talk sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a swimmer right now. He is inspiring. He's a runner and fast, like freakishly fast. And it is very tender to me, because I talk to people without a lot of clothes on in a very vulnerable situation.
That's true.
They're really good athletes, and they hop in the water. They can go miles, and going yards absolutely leaves them gassed.
Yeah.
And I try and do my best to help them not feel like their fitness is betraying them, and try and help them figure out how their particular body interfaces with the water, because everybody interfaces differently. There are some people who can teach themselves with YouTube videos, and I've seen it, and it's remarkable. But others just need like some feedback, some specific drills that help them. And I've got that he did a 500 free without stopping, and it was really fantastic. I'm gonna have to move him up a lane here pretty soon.
That's an accomplishment.
It's a huge accomplishment.
Again,
huge.
You're describing me, but for me to you know, and I've been able to swim 500 meters before, but. Mm-hmm. Man, I remember that feeling of like, I feel like something's wrong with me. Like, how did I swim this far? You know? So anyway, that's awesome. And how just gratifying and satisfying is it to work with people and help them achieve their best?
It's hard to describe. There's this level of, for me, it's like, I hope I can help you. Like I want to help you, and I can see it in their eyes. They're placing their trust in me, and it's a sacred trust. And, you know, there are times some I stand on the pool deck and I just think, oh, you know, where's the hole in their power? Where are they? Where's that sink where they're not connecting with the water? And so it's really gratifying when we get to see success. But I'll tell you, I never know. I'll have people who come to me and 3 weeks later, they're zooming across the pool. And then I've got some that it takes them a year and a half, 2 years to finally put all the pieces and parts together. But when that light goes on, it is incredible. And I always tell them the same thing, like, don't give up, because you may be on the verge of a breakthrough when you finally put it together. And if you give up, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on that breakthrough.
That's such great advice.
Yeah. So it's hugely gratifying.
Great advice.
Yeah. Not just for triathlons, but for life in general.
Yes. Absolutely.
So we got about 2 minutes left. Obviously you do coaching. You also are an athlete. Is there one of the two that you prefer?
I think being an athlete, I have to be, let me try and be succinct. I think for everyone who exercises, there are two parts of you, the athlete and the competitor. And learning how to quiet your competitor, to nurture your athlete so that you are fit, you recover properly, that you're aware of how to manage your energy is really vital. And so I love being an athlete, but I have to really watch my competitor because she loves to push. She wants to go fast. She wants to go far. She Non-stop. Wants to be first. She wants to punish somebody who passes her. I mean, but that's the competitive side. So being an athlete, I love helping athletes. I love, and then allowing that experience to help balance their competitor. That brings me great joy. I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's such a balance, and to be able to do both of them is so satisfying in and of itself. 30 seconds. What's next? You've accomplished one of the most difficult things available. What's next?
I am going to attempt to swim a 15K.
Oh, wow.
I know this is a radio program, but your face was classic.
Well, that's a long ways. That I know how far way. That is.
It's a bumper way. Sticker nobody has.
That's true. That's true. So is there a race that you're looking at, or will this be a solo project?
Yes. No, there's a race in Michigan that's absolutely fantastic called Swim to the Moon with a wonderful charitable background in terms of the money that they raise. And they are offering it this year because it's the 15th anniversary of the race. I don't know if they'll offer it again. So
You gotta go for it.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Yes.
Honestly, that's going to be an amazing accomplishment. And once again, we've said it already, but congratulations on the success of the Ironman race.
Yeah.
And, get that 15K.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll have to have her back after that one.
Yeah. See how things are going. Thank you so much, Jean, for joining us today. And sincerely, we do wish you the very best of luck and happy holidays.
Yes.
Thank you.
What do you think? Do you want to sign up for an Ironman?
No.
Not yet? No?
No, but I need to talk to her about how to swim.
Oh,
so.
Sure. I can tell right now.
Yeah.
She would be a great coach for me. I am exactly what she was describing. So.
Well, I'm a little less than that, but I'm willing.
Yeah. Awesome. A couple of things to just wrap us up here real quick. I can't believe I'm saying this. I say this at the end of every show, but listen, team registration opens on January 1st. That's just a couple of weeks away.
It is.
If you're a coach or a team manager, you need to start preparing for that. Most of our team sports fill up really quickly, even within a matter of hours, certainly within a matter of days. So you want to prepare for that.
Yeah.
Just a reminder also to check out the results of the 2023 games. They're all on the website at seniorgames.net. And if you missed the games this year, or if you want to relive some of the best moments, you can check out all the videos featured on the Huntsman World Senior Games TV, which is also available at seniorgames.net as well. Next week's guest is our very own volleyball director at the Huntsman World Senior Games. It's Sue Mailot.
Yeah.
So Sue does so much for us, but she's also extremely active in all levels of the sport of volleyball, including the NCAA Division I and volleyball club. So we're going to be excited to get a chance to visit with her. Remember to tune in live next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show and turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that podcasts are found. If you happen to be listening by podcast, take a moment and give us a rating or write a quick review. It helps us spread the word. You can also find this as well as previous shows right on our website. Once again, that is seniorgames.net. So check that out. Today's inspirational thought comes from the one and only Babe Ruth. And he says, you just can't beat the person who won't give up. And that is true. Until next Thursday, stay active.